Greetings, this is Dan Phelan with As You Wish Talk Radio. I hope everything's working now. We had some extreme technical difficulties getting on the air again. I didn't hear my intro, so I'm just assuming we're on the air. But anyway, we've got a great show tonight. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about I thought were very interesting. I guess there's a big White House dinner with over 2,000 pounds of shrimp from the Gulf area being served. You know, basically, I think I'm going to miss that party. You know, so I don't think I'm eating the shrimp out of the Gulf. I know that they had pictures of our president swimming in the Gulf with his kids, but I really know what the levels were, the toxic levels in the water. So I'm kind of wondering if he was really in the Gulf or maybe in Hawaii or somewhere else. But anyway, another oil rig exploded, and they're saying all the oil is gone, so nothing to worry about. We've got some other headline news, too. It seems like the latest debacle with Michael Horn and the Billy Myers story is that he told everybody Edgar Mitchell was picking up the case, you know, that famous astronaut, and on the air, you know, let thousands of people know that Edgar Mitchell was on board. Unfortunately, he forgot to tell Edgar Mitchell about this. So Edgar Mitchell sent out an extreme denial of this situation. So it looks like they're losing a lot of credibility here with the Michael Horn program. So anyway, if anybody's been following this, his total assassination, character assassinations and attacks on all the other UFO researchers, check into that one. It's quite interesting. A little more egg on face for Michael Horn. But there's so much more to the story. There's a lot of things going on, but I want to skip some of them because I've got a great guest today. I've got Tom Lombroso, and he's got Faces of the Universe, and he has this incredible book on clouds. So I want to talk to Tom about this, and hopefully we can get him on the show. Tom, are you with us?
I'm here.
Oh, great, great. We've been having some major technical difficulties, so I wasn't sure if we were on the air or not.
Yes, and it's great to be on your show. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. You know, I saw some of these photographs and in your book, and they are just amazing. Definitely, there's some kind of intelligence behind these cloud formations. But before
right.
we go into those, yeah, I'd love to hear about your background. How did you get into this?
Well, I was reading about you, and it's funny that... we have some similarities between us. I spent, like you, I've been on a chamber board of directors. I had my own planning and development company. And I either had a near-death experience or a magical moment, whatever you want to call it. So we have something in common. And so kind of my story started in earnest about February 9th of 2001. When an angel came into my car verbally and pretty much yelled out, slow down to 35. And I was going 60 at that time. And I did. I followed my intuition. And within seconds, a car pulled in front of me, stopped, and then turned to the left. I had no way to stop. And so I rammed him. And he had three people in it, three young men. And that saved my life because I was going slower. So that's why I call it a magical moment. I didn't actually pass on and come back, but I did listen to this incredible voice that was with me that saved my life. And it was for a purpose, to awaken and do the things I've done over the last 10 years.
Sometimes we do need a little bit of a shock to shock us out of our material world, you might say, and into a greater reality.
Yes.
Now, these photographs, I was looking at some of these photographs, and, you know, I saw one here. Maybe I should let you explain some of the photographs in your book, and actually maybe how you got the photographs and what's your interpretation of the photographs would be.
Okay. I've done two books, one in 2009 called One Angel's Touch, A Journey to the Clouds, Messages from the Sky, and then another book called Faces of the Universe, Sacred Images, was done this year. And there's a little bit of story how this happened. As you can imagine, after my accident, I started to wonder about all this, and an incredible number of things happened over the last 10 years to get me to this point, as I'm sure you know. And I really started seeing things in sidewalks, places I'd always walk, and then I started seeing images in sidewalks. Then I started seeing images in rocks. And these images were of beings of one sort or another, human beings, animals, this kind of thing. And then my wife and I went to Peru in November of 2007 and took a total tour of Peru, including Machu Picchu. On the train to Machu Picchu, I was in one of these train cars that had the windows above us as well as on the sides. And I'm looking up, and here's this cloud of a condor, just an incredible condor image. Along with it was an image of a puma. And as we were learning about Peru, we understood that there were three sacred animals, the puma, the condor, and the serpent. So we were being gifted with these through clouds. So that really got me started. I took a lot of pictures in that train car. And then it started from there. And it seems like, almost seems like they were being sent to me, at least some of them. And, you know, I didn't have any intention of doing books at all. And as things progressed in May of 2008, my wife and I were in Sedona, Arizona, and we were walking a labyrinth at a local Episcopal church. The labyrinth was modeled after the one in Chartres, France. And it's quite big. And as we were finishing up, I looked up in the sky, and here's this incredible angel figure. And I believe it to be Archangel Michael. Now, I have to give you a background that I really never really so much believed so much in angels. But this started to be convincing to me. So I took that picture. I had many pictures of that angel. And that became the cover of my first book. And more clouds would come in, and it got me started where every day I'd have my camera everywhere I was. And it just seems like they'd pop up for me. And they'd be all kinds of things, from animals to mythical creatures like dragons and elves, to horses, to people, parents with their children, alien images, typical gray alien, bulbous head, small mouth, chin, big eyes. Some incredible ones on top of all those. And you just were in amazement at what they were. And sometimes I'd take them and take pictures I didn't know what I was taking. When you'd call it up on your computer, there was something incredible. So that's how it started. Do you have any specific questions?
Well, basically, I was wondering, what do you feel is behind these images, or who do you think is speaking to you?
I definitely feel like there's no question in my mind there is an intelligence doing it. These clouds cannot happen without intelligent design. Secondly, I think I was supposed to do these books for people to illustrate through photography these images for people to see, not just me, but to share with the world. And it makes us wonder. The first reaction I get to people after they see the books is, like, the next day they'll call me and say, I can't stop looking up now when I come out of a building. I'm expecting something. And it's kind of comical, but it's really true. And it's now opening up people. So I've been opened up with my accident, and I'm opening up other people, in a way, to the world around us. And so no question that there's intelligent design. I do believe there is. There are beings of one sort or another, either dimensional or angelic, and maybe working with ETs that are good ETs, benign ETs, and are trying to communicate to us. And I think more and more of this communication will come in over time. So I'm just the receiver of this. I'm the believer in it, and I'm motivated to every day be aware and take mm-hmm. pictures whenever I can. And I just, as I said, I didn't have an intention to do these books, but now I'm always looking and wanting to know where the next step is going to be.
I'm sure it's a major life-changing expression. We've had our experience, I should say. We've had some clouds here that I've seen that are just amazing, and we had a physicist here that was photographing these clouds, and some look like eagles, some look like a bear, some look like I was trying to think of the different types of animals that he was seeing in the clouds, and photographing them, and you would look at these photographs, and it wasn't, well, maybe you could make that into an eagle, you know, or maybe you could make that into the image of a face or whatever. They were definite faces. I mean, the everything was symmetrical. The eyes were in the right place, the nose, the mouth, you know, just unbelievable. And, you know, the wings, the whole, I mean, we had this one thing looked just like Star Trek, like the Starship Enterprise up here over the sky. But the most amazing one I saw was one evening I saw one large cloud all by itself. There weren't any other clouds there. And this cloud turned into something that looked like something out of a biblical fresco or something like that. I don't know. It looked like exactly like the hand of God pointing, you know, sideways looking at it. You could see the finger, all the other hand. You could even see the thumb on it and the thumbnail in this cloud formation, and I was just blown away when I saw that, and I said, how could anything have formed that perfect and with such a strong message like that if it wasn't some intelligence behind it?
Yes, and I have documentation of that myself in several photos. I was able to capture some kind of ship. A couple of them had a very round ship that had a large green top to it, and they're right near the clouds that was being formed. So I think I've been able to capture that on occasion, as well as some other ET ships. And some of these pictures I take, I probably have a couple hundred thousand of them now, and so I never know what's going to come out. I agree with you, and there's no question that these are being manipulated to show us, in a way, maybe it's communication like crop circles or something, but it's in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also in other places, like I mentioned, in sidewalks and rocks and all the beings. I mean, our planet is alive. Our universe is alive, and there's communication coming to us. And so I think they're allowing us to be aware if people wish to choose to look and slow down a little bit, actually. Yep, slow down.
Yeah, that's a good message there. I know I was doing a sweat lodge once, and I looked at a rock that was glowing, and it was an old grandfather stone. And you could see this face just undeniable. Again, perfect symmetry, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, everything on this glowing stone. But it had this big frown on its face, you know. And I poked the guy next to me and pointed at it, and I kind of whispered over to him, I go, I hope that's smiling at the end of the sweat, you know, because, yeah. I mean, he had a real foreboding look on his face, like he wasn't happy. And what was hilarious is we weren't really paying much attention to it for a little while, and then finally we looked back at it, and it had a big smile on its face. The frown had turned up, and it had a big smile, you know. So I thought that was quite interesting, and it wasn't, again, you know, your imagination trying to make something out of something. It was both of us saw it, and I didn't even say anything to it. I just pointed at it, and he just went, oh, my God, you know, and he saw it too. So it wasn't something that, you know, a projection or any kind of imaginary thing going on.
Well, I have to say I've been very blessed with all this because, you know, there are so many people that are on a spiritual path, and they write a book, and you have to trust in what they say because you really can't know them or see
mm-hmm.
them. And in my case, I've had many experiences when the clouds came and I was able to take pictures. I'm able to say to people, you know, look at nucleus. Look at this and tell me what you think it is. Tell me how you think it happened. How can this happen in the sky? And, you know, I don't try to convince people. I just let them look at it. And that's what the books are about. So I've been blessed with this ability. Anybody that wishes to question what's happening, they have to really dig down deep and say, okay, how did that cloud come in? How does that happen? So when I make speeches and so forth, this is the way I do it. It's just, there has to be an explanation, and the only real explanation when you get down to it is someone is manipulating the cloud to look like this.
Yeah.
And then the question is, why?
You don't have a crew like that. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, and then you have to question, why are they doing it?
Yeah. So you don't have a crew like Doug and Dave down there with a little cloud generator with the cookie cutouts blowing these clouds overhead. So you can write a book. I mean, that's what some people would come up with. You wouldn't believe some of the nonsense I hear.
I might want to tell you also that for your listeners that, you know, this just didn't happen. It took 10 years, and many, many other things happened to me during that time that were of a spiritual nature. And, I mean, things that no way on earth did I think would ever happen to me, including being an artist. I had no idea and desire to be an artist, and here I am being an artist in 2007. Traveling around the world, I had no idea I'd be doing that. I didn't really want to. And we've done that, and in earnest, and doing partially with these clouds. And then about 3 years ago, what I would call starlight energy came into me, and it's some kind of energy that is from the universe, and I'm essentially the conduit for it. And it really helps people. So all these things are happening, and the clouds are just one of the many features, many of the things that have happened that I can share with people.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about some of the experiences that you had before, you know, you did the cloud book, that what led up to that. I'm sure there's more to the story.
Well, probably a little bit like you might have gone through after my accident and then hearing this incredible voice in my car that saved my life. I wanted to know who that was. I've always had a pretty significant intensity in terms of life, and I had to pursue it, and so I did a lot of research, and I was a really practical person at the time, so talking about the mythical is really hard. So people seemed to be sent to me, and I think they were, and they'd give me a piece of information here and a piece of information there. Started meeting people that were more giving of other information, and got involved with a number of psychic people and sorting out who were the good ones and the bad ones, and they have been, the ones I have that are my friends are incredibly helpful, and have helped me understand these things that are happening to me. Then about 2004 and 5, my wife and I were sleeping on our bed like we always do, and about 1:30 in the morning, the bed shook violently side to side like someone was on her side pushing it back and forth like an earthquake. And our lights in our room went on and off, including a light that wasn't even plugged in. And that began the series of visions that started. And what they obviously wanted to do was wake me up. And after trying to check all this out and why this happened, and it would happen 3-4 times a week for a period of time, and I could never see anybody, right? So as I'm going back to sleep, then the visions would start. And it would include visions of angels and all kinds of characters, abstract symbols, all kinds of things. I probably have several hundred images that have come through. And as one piece of advice that someone gave me early on was to document everything. So I have a diary of about 10 years of stuff, including drawing these images. So I think part of them were showing me past lives. That was incredible, and probably many of them I just don't even today understand why they were given to me. So the vision started, and then other forms of communication were coming in terms of, you know, walking down the street and your mind would go blank, and then a phrase or a word would come in out of the blue, and you'd go follow it. And the last year, it really changed. And they're just communicating through songs a lot, and songs that are probably 50 years old. Songs I might have heard, but I've really forgotten. So when I might be walking with my wife, and I get this tune coming in, and I start singing it to her, and between the both of us, we try to figure out what the title of it was, and she's really good at that, so I need her there with me, and I go home and I look up on the internet, what were the lyrics, what's the message, all kinds of ways. It's just amazing. A lot of comical kinds of things, you know. These beings are very humorous at times, and so it's kind of funny. Probably trying to ground me going through all this.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
I've definitely seen that same effect happening. And I noticed a lot of the old songs in the 50s, they always had a message in them or some, and you could take three or four verses, and it's totally appropriate with whatever you're going through. And I was having the same thing happen. I would hear these songs in my head, and then it would be totally appropriate to where I was at and what I was doing at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even last week, I was with my wife, and "Oh, Susanna" came in. "Oh, Susanna, mm-hmm. don't you cry for me." So you just never know. It's just so funny. The other thing that obviously came in was significant. Over the last few years, I would wake up with cuts on my body. That would happen during the night. And I think I've been obviously implanted, but one thing or another, either in my nose or in my leg or on my neck. And it was obvious. I mean, they would stay for several days, and I'd take pictures of them. And so definitely there's some kind of communication through these implants. And I've never, ever, ever had anything bad happen to me. You know, it's always been very positive. I think they're communicating some way through these devices, whatever they are, and probably help me see the visions I have somehow. So that's all been good. And then I went through a lot of emotional change. Obviously, with these kinds of things, you have to imagine what you would do. Many people, I don't think, can withstand this kind of growth or change within them, and I've been very fortunate. My wife, Carol, has been super in terms of understanding this, because imagine two people going forward together and one sees these things and one doesn't see. I know it tends to break up people. But out of all that was some significant changes, like my generosity went way up with people, was able to understand and effectuate total unconditional love, which I think is one of the things that's being trying to be taught to all of us. And so all these things are working together somehow, at least for me. And as I said, and I've been gifted with these things that I can show people. Rather than just tell a story, I can show them some physical, visual evidence of some of this.
Yeah, some of the photographs, and do you have other photographs besides clouds of some of these beings or entities that you've had?
Yeah, the second book has three sections to it. Most of it's clouds, probably about 60-70% of it. There's over about 250 images. And then the second section is images in rocks and sidewalks, which are pretty amazing. Some of them are just incredible. And then the last section is just paranormal kinds of activities. For example, when we went to Hawaii and went to the top of Mauna Kea, and it's a very sacred mountain, but although it has all the telescopes on it. And I tend to bring crystals everywhere with me, so I took a crystal and put it down the hill a little bit, took a picture of it in the sunset time, and took several pictures. Well, when I came home and looked at them, here's this one picture of the crystal, and then the next picture are these two orange beings on top of the crystal. So, and I come to understand, and I believe it was the Menehuna, which is a part of the ancient belief system of the natives in Hawaii, and believe that's why the mountain is sacred, because they believe those beings live there. So our cameras today, as you know, can do some incredible things, capture these images.
Oh, yeah.
So So I always have it with me because you never know what's going to come in. I have this one Buddha statue. It was blessed by the Tibetan monks in my backyard. And one of my psychics said, tonight, take a picture of it because they're going to give you something. And lo and behold, there's this light coming off of it. Kind of a wispy light comes up about 20 feet, and then it turns into a ball of light and then whisks away into the night sky, and it's all on one little shutter speed.
I'm looking at that photograph right now. It's an amazing one. We have similar ones. We have a statue of Mary and Buddha together in our front yard. We're very eclectic here, and so we have all the different beings around the ranch here, statues and white buffaloes and everything else. But what's interesting is that the statue, the Buddha statue, has this huge orange shaft coming out of its head and then shoots across right into the lower, into my lower back. And I was having a lot of back problems at the time. And then the Mary statue has this massive pink beam coming down on top of it with the light bending off into an angle, which is pretty bizarre. I mean, that just doesn't happen. You don't bend light. And this was taken at 10 o'clock in the morning due west. The sun was rising in the east, so it wasn't a lens flare or anything of that nature. And I felt like I weighed about 20 pounds that day after that energy hit me in the lower back. I was having a lot of back pain, and it just went away immediately, and I was walking around pretty light-footed after that.
Yeah. I have another story. It's very interesting. After I got my first book done in mid-2009, I gave a number of books out to my friends, and my psychic friends especially, and I had a session with one of them in a nearby town, and I had autographed for her, and she put it kind of at a 45-degree angle between the table and the adjacent wall. And as we were about to sit down, the book levitated about a foot off the table, and it went up and turned completely around and slammed on the table. And of course, both of our faces were just looking at what the heck happened. And she put it back, and it did it again. And she said, "This book has incredible energy." So that's part of what's happened to me is this energy, which, as again, I call it starlight energy. It's definitely within me, and I'm a conduit for it. And things that I touch seem to have it. It's seeing is believing when you're assessing all these things that have happened to you. But it's amazing the things that that I would thought were totally impossible to happen now have happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes that. I know you're probably like me that I'm kind of analytical, basically. Even though I've had all these phenomenal experiences, I'm still trying to find a rational explanation for this. So, you know, I'm not going to be set up on it, you know, like if I go and talk about this or show these pictures. And I just can't do it. I cannot find any rational explanation for these photographs, you know, other than they are what they are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I see them. When I see them, I have to take a picture of it, and there it is. And I actually end up seeing more sometimes after the picture comes out. I might share a little bit with the second book. It's called Faces of the Universe. And like you mm-hmm. said earlier, you saw faces. Well, that's what this book is a lot about, because I've seen so many faces, animal faces in the sky, alien faces, angelic faces. But really, the cover of the book is interesting because I was at a nearby hospital in my town, and I come out of the hospital, and here's this beautiful, it was a beautiful blue sky day, and this incredible cloud comes in. It has two huge eyes. It's got, like, legs and arms flailing outward and perhaps wings, and a huge smile. That was so impressive, an incredible grin, almost like ear to ear. And I just took so many pictures of that. I sent one of them over to my favorite psychic, and I said, "Do you know what this is?" And she said, without question, she said, "It's the Merkaba." And that's when I first got exposed to the Merkaba, which obviously goes back to Ezekiel about 600 BC when he saw it in the sky. And you know, supposedly a way to travel between dimensions. And I know in reading your background, you're multidimensional, and this is the same thing. It's incredible to see this in the sky. So so many things. So I'm so happy to be able to take these, because they, even today, I am so impressed when I see something like this in the sky, and I'm able to take a picture and share it with other people. So I don't know where it's going to take us, but my life has been full of change for 10 years, and the change has almost been daily. So you have to be open to a world that's maybe not so stable, but the change is exciting, and it's educational, and it's leading up to something I think we're all going to experience in the future about things that are going to be happening to the Earth and to us, and if we're open to it.
Now, so basically, what I understand, or hopefully I have understood what you're talking about, is that like a lot of these images and these things actually have a story to tell, and they're signs or signposts or whatever you want to call it to get us to look up and say, hey, there's more than just this physical reality. You know, you're more than a body and a personality down here, and there's a lot more than your beer and your TV and your football game and your condo, you know, that, So actually watching these images or getting these books, when people see this, they're going to go, oh my God, that is really bizarre. And then hopefully they'll start looking up and have their own experiences.
Yeah. And I think that's what this is about, because it's not just for me, it's for everyone. You know, I think one of the things I always hear from people about my books is, you know, it reminds me when I was a child and I was in a field and I would spend hours looking upwards and imagining what the clouds were saying or what images they created for that person. And that brings them to a time when they were happy. I mean, I don't think we get necessarily negative feelings from clouds. We're just in awe of them, of the beauty of them, and so forth. And I think that's one of the reasons they communicate to us this way. Mm-hmm. So now they've gone beyond that, to giving us messages in some way or another. I think some of it is just to mimic our daily lives, to awaken us to what happens. There's this one picture in the second book on page 140 that was so amazing that it was like, you know, the, I don't know what that amphibian or toad is that has a long tongue and it goes real fast and captures an insect. Well, that's what this one is. It's some large animal with a long tongue and it captures a butterfly-looking cloud. And you can just imagine what's going on there. There's pictures in here, photos of one day I was at an art event outdoors and near sunset, and this little tiny, tiny grayish cloud appeared, but it looked funny to me, so I took pictures. It is a representation of Poseidon, you know, mythical god. When you blow it out, you can just see it. So, you know, what is that message? I think it's a message about opening our minds completely to all the things that are possible, all the things that might have happened, all the things that could happen. In some ways, I almost feel like some of these images are maybe not as pleasing to some people. They're maybe more of an alien-looking creature. What I always think about is, well, what if some aliens came to our planet and sat next to us on a bench? You know, and they didn't look like us. How would we react? You know, many people say that they would love for ETs to come and show themselves, but how would they react truly on an everyday basis? You know, I think that's amazing. There's also, in the second book on page 88, it's an incredible cloud. We were off to Hawaii, and I think this was 2008, and I had a session with one of my psychics before I went, and she said, when you go there, go where the lava hits, this was the Big Island, where the lava hits the ocean, and watch the spiraling cloud of vapor that comes off the steam hitting the water hitting the ocean. And we did. And every time that cloud of steam turned, there was like another creature in it. But this last one that's on page 88 is so incredible. Here's this being looking to the left with a complete face, little hooked nose, eyes, chin, cheeks, huge belly, and an arm and shoulder. And mm-hmm. it's just undeniable. That is something special that they have been able to create. And everybody is pretty amazed at that one. So, yes, there are both just clouds, and I think there's clouds with some kind of a message to us to think about or to conjecture about. And they go over the gamut of things. There's one on page 60 of the same book. It's like a huge mosquito on top of a man laying on the ground. It's like he's going to take some blood there.
Yeah. I like the female, the one, I'm not sure what page it's on, but it shows a very clear image of a female almost with a veil on her face. I think one of them's on 48, but it looks like a veil. Actually, there's one on 46 as well. That, 40, 45, 46, and 48, they all look like a female, a woman with a veil, you know, in the clouds. And what's interesting, we're having here, we just had a monk here, from a Japanese monk by the name of Khan, and he took photographs. He saw a blue light appearing outside his door, and he thought it was the moonlight, and he couldn't figure out what was going on, and he walked outside, and the light was, it was totally overcast, and the moon wasn't even out. You couldn't even see the moon, and he couldn't figure out where this blue light was coming from. And so he took two pictures of it, and he got the light, the energy manifesting in front of him. And then the next picture was a picture which looked just like Mary. And he didn't know who it was. And here's this woman wearing a shawl on her head, and a beautiful, you know, picture of this woman. And so the next day I said, boy, I wish her features would come in a little stronger so I could actually see what she looks like. And, you know, this guy's a Taoist priest. He didn't even know who Mary was. And so he came and he was taking one of our teacher's training classes. And he was in the class and he pulls his camera out again. And I said, well, I felt Mary's energy coming in. And she did. She came in. Everybody was just sighing and feeling this wonderful energy. And people were crying. It was a real intense energy. And so he pulls his camera out and takes a picture. And she manifested right over the group inside the building. So very, very clear picture of her, you know, pretty detailed picture of her face. But we're getting crazy pictures like that. You got a picture of Kuan Yin manifesting out in the field, a picture of Kazekiel, a being that I work with, that is a giant gold ball of energy with wings. And you got a picture of that out in the field, which looks like Jerusalem in the background, which is crazy. The photographs this guy's getting, and the pictures, some of them, there were some investigators here that they're investigative journalists that were here at the time, and they grabbed his phone and they looked at the pictures, they looked at the time on the pictures, everything, and everything checked out. And you know, this guy's just this big happy monk. He doesn't have any agenda, and he didn't want to make anything from the pictures or anything. He just said, here, these are yours. They were taken here, and they're for you. And so, you know, it lends extreme credibility to it.
Yes, as you're saying, and it's happening in so many places. If you are open to it, I know you are, and so you get to see these things. But so many people don't have the time to do it, don't believe in it, they're just maybe too busy in their lives with their families, their jobs, all this stuff. And that's kind of how I was. I mean, I was very, very busy for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the accident happened, and I had to deal with that. You know,
yeah.
And as I've gone through this, I've met a lot of people, and, you know, and I describe what happens, and some people say, well, how come I don't see this? Or how come I don't see angels? You know, this and that. Well, you know, you have to be willing to go through all this that I've gone through, I think, in many ways. The tests that I've had to go through, because it just doesn't open up automatically. You have to kind of earn it. And, you know, it is a lot to take in. I think the angels or whoever it is that is allowing these things to happen, at least for me and others, they know if they give us too much all at one time, we can just explode. Because it's a lot to take in.
Oh, yeah, and then you have to change your frequencies to match the experiences, because each time it seems we engage one of these beings, we have to let go of a lot of old programs, a lot of old wounds and traumas. And I know some of the energies, when you engage these energies, is they throw you in process, because you have to rise to the occasion. So as you're saying, if this all happened at once, I mean, you would go nuts or probably go jump off a cliff or something, you know? It'd be too much.
And, I liken it to, at least in my case, I liken it to a rat in a maze. And if I follow the message, I get to cheese and I get to move to the next level. So I feel like it's a series of tests. And I know when some people have talked to me about it, they want to know how this happens. Well, it's a lot to take in. It's a total transformation of your life. And are you willing to do that on an everyday basis? I'll give you another thing that happened to us in 2006. Out of the blue was this message for us to go to Flagstaff, Arizona, and buy a house there. Mm-hmm. And it really, you know, was amazing. Out of nowhere. I mean, we live in California. So why would we do this? Well, we go. In 2 weeks, we fly to Flagstaff. We look around. And we have a realtor, and we saw about 6 houses, and the last one was the one we picked, and it was essentially a brand new house, and there was an angel statue about a foot tall at the doorway, and then it's this, one of the cross streets, the South Bright Angel Trail. So angels were all over that thing, and we did buy it, and we still have it, and you know, it's almost like there had to be some kind of implanted energy there of some sort. So would you, you know, if you were a person experiencing this, would you go to that length to spend that kind of money to do these kinds of things? So both my wife and I have been, you know, just persevering this and in a way very excited about it. But it does challenge you, and you never know when the challenges are.
Definitely. I know you've got that you like to share your information and your work, and that you have workshops and seminars on this subject. Can you talk a little bit about some of your seminars?
Yeah, and what we have now is, because I'd like to share these images, we have about 150, 200 kind of slide presentation that we'll do with people. I have one coming up on the 16th in Sacramento, and you know, it's kind of a blend of where we went to different places, so you get a little feel of the place and then the cloud or the other image that came in, and kind of explain that. So it really gives people a visual understanding of how these things happened. For example, when we went to England, we were in London for a little couple weeks, and I wanted to go see the Peace Pagoda in Battersley Park. And so we went there, and it's a beautiful Faces of the Buddha pavilion, and it's about, it looks like about 30 foot tall, and it's all in gold, and we were there for about an hour, and, you know, it's all about peace. And so we left, and we were walking out of the park, and my wife sees down, and I see up, and so she's kind of like a raven. Or an earth creature, in a way, and she does this all the time. So anyway, so we're walking about 15 minutes, and she says, "You have to stop. You won't believe this." And so she goes to the ground, picks up this thing in her hand, opens her hand, and here's this silver charm in the form of a peace dove.
Wow.
And that's the kind of thing that happens all the time. If you're willing to have an open mind, it's a confirmation of peace. And what we just had done, and it's so amazing, and it's a happy time when we do that. It's just we both characterize what we're going through as kind of an adventure of discovery. And in order to do that, you have to be willing to take the trip to do this. So
you got to follow the guidance.
Yeah. So you know, we do radio and TV. We do these presentations. People can look us up on our website, which is www.whenangelstouch.com, and they can buy our books there and other things we have. But certainly look at the pictures and other materials we have there. We are doing a total upgrade of our website probably within a couple months, and it's going to feature a lot more pictures. They keep coming in, so we want to keep those there. We have a cloud photo of the week we do, so it changes all the time.
Yeah, it's funny, as we're talking here, my house is shaking, and I don't know what the origin of that is, but what's that?
Is it me or you?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's funny. We have that every once in a while. We have the house, the whole house will shake, or I know what you're talking about, the bed shaking and everything, and I go and look up, you know, on the USGS site, and there's nothing, and sometimes the house will or the bed will really shake, and I'll get this strong feeling that there is going to be an earthquake somewhere, and sure enough, I'll find out that there was a major quake over in South America or something. But wow. Sometimes it's just them messing around, you know, like trying to get my attention as they were you.
You know, I find it very comforting to have this, because it's to be able to communicate with other beings of one form or another, be it angels or ETs or whoever they may be, have such a positive experience. It makes you feel like so loved and a warm feeling inside. At least that's the way I feel about it, because they definitely are helping me. If they wanted to do something bad to me, they would have done it a long time ago. And
I hear that here all the time.
Yeah. And so,
you know, people
Excuse me?
Oh, well, people do that here all the time. They have all these heinous scenarios, you know, like, you know, aren't you afraid they're going to slice and dice you? Aren't you afraid they're going to steal your soul? Aren't you afraid it's Satan? You know, they come up with all these scenarios, or they just try to discount it all together and say it's just something that they can handle, you know, something in their reference points. And you know, with a lot of that, I just laugh and I just go, God, there's just been too many things. There's been too much. And it's so obvious that I can't even go there, you know, with that program anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think you do have to be a little careful, because there are good and bad people. There are probably good and bad aliens. And And so you have to deal with that kind of energy that comes in. But I think if you keep yourself straight, it all works, and it's a very exciting life. For myself and my wife, Carol, to live out whatever years we have left this way is just an incredible experience.
Yeah, it is definitely good to learn to sense, you know, the unseen energies and see if they do carry that love vibration, and if they have a message that's empowering and lifting and healing or assisting you, then go for it. But if they have a message that's separating you from others or flattering your ego you know, some other program going, then it's good to change channels.
Yeah. Well, I do think that a lot of this is about to awaken us about our planet and our lives. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of work to do on the planet to save this place. It's such a beautiful place. And mm-hmm. And it's going to take a lot of work by a lot of people. And so I think, you know, whatever I'm doing, it's hopefully helping people to awaken to these kinds of messages. And we need to all work together and communicate together somehow, or else we'll have a lot of trouble. So it's that's one of the things, messages out of this, I think. You know, you don't want to trash your own home, and why would you trash your planet? And so we have a lot of work to do.
So hopefully, you know, you can reach as many people as possible to start paying attention and, you know, start living in harmony with each other and the planet and move in that direction and try to divert this other program that seems to be going in the opposite direction.
Well, there's, that gives me a couple thoughts. You know, there is a song I heard a couple years ago, and I don't remember the singer, but the title was "When You Save a Single Soul, the World is Saved in Time." And it's such a beautiful song, but it's true. It's like the rock thrown into the pond and the ripple effect.
Oh, yeah.
And if one person helps somebody one day, that person helps more people and more people and more people. It just is contagious.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, if there's a lot more good people working on this, it's going to make a difference. If you can imagine, you know, millions of people working towards good, it'll be infectious in a positive way.
I agree. I love that saying, one on the side of God is the majority. You know, so just frequency-wise, it all makes sense. You know, you have somebody that's really pulling in those high frequencies of love and joy and bliss, it's going to affect, you know, hundreds or thousands of other people.
You know, and this, and it all sounds very easy, but, you know, my transition and my wife's transition in this, when you are trying to do these things, you clearly can't be around negative energies. You learn
no.
that. And
yeah.
And that has affected some of our friendships and stuff. And you have to be willing to move on, because what's more important is ourselves and what we're living and what we're trying to accomplish. And the negative energies would do so much damage to us. We just can't let it happen. So that's a hard thing
for
people to understand.
Yeah, Yogananda talked about that. He said you have your biological family and your friends, and you have to love them and accept them, and then you have your spiritual family, and he said that's the one you want to hang out with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's we're always
searching
for that.
Yeah, we're out of time, unfortunately, so can you give your website one more time?
Yes, it's www.winangelstouch.com. You can email me at tom@winangelstouch.com. And you can purchase books and whatever and see the pictures.
Great. Hey, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I love your book. I love the photographs in your book. And I'd love to do one of your seminars and just see what else you have.
Yeah, I'd like to come up to your place as well.
Yeah, anytime. We'll set something up.
Okay. Thank you
very much. All right, well, thanks for coming on the show.
Okay, take care.
All right, we're out of time. So anyway, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. And check out this book. It's amazing. I'm thumbing through it right now, and I'm just seeing some amazing photographs. You know, it'd be a good coffee table book, too, just to have on your table to let people open up to a greater reality. But anyway, we're out of time. Watch the skies. There's all kinds of stuff going on up there. There's ships. There's clouds. There's beings. There's just getting real crazy. So pay attention. Have a good evening. Good night.